Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Merci, mes amis!
Merci!
Merci d'être là! De vous être...
And that is the new president of France, Emmanuel Macron. Would you see how I did that there? Look at that good accent, Macron.
Yeah. Macron.
Macron. Joining us is Dalibor Rohak, who is a research fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he studies European political and economic trends. Dalibor, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall with Brian and Mary.
Mary, Brian, good to be with you.
How did I do there with the Emmanuel Macron? Good?
I thought it was just perfect.
Oh, just thank perfect. You so much. Now, should we as Americans be happy about Macron's win here? Or is this something that we should maybe take a second look at?
I think it is quite clear that the defeat of Marine Le Pen is good news for France, the United States, the world, and even for U.S. conservatives. Marine Le Pen was a candidate who was very vocally pro-Russian, anti-NATO. She vowed to take France out of NATO. She went on a very anti-market platform, essentially promising to preserve all the unsustainable social privileges going to insiders and labor unions, etc. She was, in spite of all the anti-establishment rhetoric, a candidate of the status quo and nostalgia. Now, the question is whether Emmanuel Macron can deliver on all the promises of hope and change. I think that will be the big question going forward the next 5 years. And the challenges facing France domestically and internationally are very big. And whether he is the right person to deliver on all those fronts remains very much an open question.
Because he did make a lot of promises. What were some of the things that he promised? You said open trade. What were some of the things that he sold to the French people that they really loved about him?
Well, domestically speaking, he was running on a very reformist economic agenda. He promises to cut 120,000 public sector jobs, cut $60 billion of public spending, cut corporation tax from 33% to 25%, liberalize labor markets. These are all things that France desperately needs. The economy has been growing at very sluggish rates. It's predicted to expand at 1.4%. This year, you have high rates of unemployment, especially among young people. Lots of French have left France in search for better opportunities abroad. So if he can do all these things, that could certainly revive economic dynamism in the country.
In this country, it seems that we have looked at this and we said, well, France took a course of action that did not represent what the United States had done. In other words, they went a different way than the U.S. Is it fair to make that kind of comparison or not?
Look, every election is different. The election that took place in France yesterday is not the same one that took place in the United States in November. The candidates were different. Emmanuel Macron is not Hillary Clinton. He is a political self-starter. He is not part of a self-serving, corrupt political dynasty. He built the political movement from scratch, sidelining all the political grandees in his country, really disrupting politics, and not unlike what Donald Trump did in the United States in that sense, although the specific content, the substance is very different in both cases. So I would caution against making big generalizations. I think what's important for America is that Emmanuel Macron is very firmly on the side of strengthening the transatlantic alliance and keeping very strong bonds among Western democracies and being very cautious with regard to outside threats, whether it's ISIS, whether it's Iran, whether it's Russia.
Do you feel confident that Macron can effectively deal with the immigration issue that you have in France?
Well, France is not faced with an immediate immigration crisis. It's not that rates of immigration today would be particularly high. It was barely hit, actually, by the refugee crisis of 2015. France is plagued by a problem that has to do with decisions over immigration policy that took place many decades ago, and that combined with really rigid welfare state and sluggish economy has created these pockets of radicalization and these cultural ghettos on the outsides of French cities, and that is a problem that exists, and I think it's very high on the list for the new president to tackle. But the idea that you could solve that by shutting down borders or getting France out of the EU, as Mrs. Le Pen promised, that just wouldn't work.
I'm fascinated by the fact that this guy is only 39 years old, and maybe it's because I know that when I was 39 years old, I should never have even been close to being considered to run a country. How is his youth? Did it play to his advantage, or is it still something of a disadvantage in France?
I think it played to his advantage in the campaign. So on Friday, WikiLeaks, with the help of Russian Secret Service, dumped 9 gigabytes of files from the servers of Emmanuel Macron's campaign, and there really was no dirt to be found there. The most controversial thing about this young candidate was that he was married to his high school teacher, 24 years his elder, which I suppose is a French thing to do in some circumstances. But obviously his youth can play to his disadvantage as he governs the country. He will need to build a coalition that can deliver on all these ambitious promises of hope and change. And I mean, America has its own experience with promises of hope and change between 2008 and 2016 that did not quite deliver what many people expected.
And given the fact that Donald Trump has said that he hopes to work well with this, I mean, what kind of relationship do you think those two might have going forward based on what we know about their personalities?
I think there is a lot of common interest that exists between America and France. I think that those bonds are much stronger than the personalities of individual leaders. I think there is some hope that the two countries work closely on the Syrian issue. France was actually very keen to intervene already in 2012-2013. It was the reluctance of President Obama and his inability to deal with the crisis that really exacerbated civil war in Syria and resulted ultimately in the refugee crisis of 2015. So there is hope that certainly will be a lot of common ground with people in the current administration.
Well, Dalibor Rohak, thank you so much for joining us. It's interesting to see how this is going to play out, because I think a lot of people here are scratching our heads and we're not quite sure if this is good or bad. So I'm glad that you set us straight. Thank you so much for that and have a fantastic week.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Dalibor Rohak, research fellow at the American Enterprise Institute.